We welcome that President Biden actually mentioned and, you know, acknowledged the human rights abuse.
China critics sound off. It's Monday, November 22nd, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Chris Cascio in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Afghan toddler reunites with mother. U.S. promises more vaccine doses. Reviewing the week in space. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The video conference between U.S. President Joe Biden and Chinese leader Xi Jinping was lauded as a step forward in the country's relationship. Xi called Biden an old friend, and Biden said he hoped the two could work together on climate change and other challenges. But some critics of Beijing in the U.S. were hoping for more. VOA's Laurel Bowman has that story.
U.S. President Joe Biden and Chinese leader Xi Jinping held a virtual meeting, a three-hour talk covering a range of issues, but producing little in terms of concrete outcomes. Both sides called it a step forward in U.S.-China relations. But critics say they were looking for more, especially human rights activists focused on China's treatment of Uyghurs in the country's northwest, its clampdown on democracy in Hong Kong, its threatening posture regarding Taiwan's semi-autonomy, and its repression of Tibet.
We welcome that President Biden actually mentioned and, you know, acknowledged the human rights abuse in those regions and in those places. But we certainly expect more than mere acknowledgement, and we really want real action from the President Biden administration.
We always see from the press release given by the White House was that there was a friendly dialogue. A lot of issues have been mentioned, but then we don't see any concrete actions or promises made by the two world leaders.
Others said they just like to see both sides get along.
Yeah, I hope like we will have a better relationship, like for more business between the Chinese and the United States.
Beijing is set to host the Winter Olympics beginning in February, and some critics of China hope that this will be a leverage point for countries to show their displeasure with the People's Republic.
We just read the news that the U.S. government and Biden are going to announce a diplomatic boycott of the Beijing 2022 Olympics. I think it's we certainly welcome this move, and I urge the world, other countries' leaders to join this initiative.
The Biden administration has not finalized plans on a possible diplomatic boycott, but several U.S. lawmakers have said they won't be attending. Laurel Bowman, VOA News, Washington.
Find more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. China reduces ties with Lithuania in Taiwan spat. Vietnam puts high hopes on Recep trade deal. Relatives of COVID-19 dead question Japan's recover-at-home policy. Vietnamese workers at Chinese factory in Serbia cry for help. Malaysian Prime Minister's party wins big in bellwether state polls. Get full coverage on all these stories and more on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. Thank you for listening to VOA Asia on this Monday. Thousands of Afghans flocked to the Kabul airport in a desperate bid to escape Afghanistan after the Taliban took control on August 15th. 18-month-old Farzad arrived with his parents, who handed him across the barbed wire to an American Marine. VOA's Nashaba Ashna reports on the reunion of Farzad and his mother after 43 days, as well as her husband, who is still hoping to flee Afghanistan.
The father of 18-month-old Farzad worked for the U.S. Embassy in Kabul. After the Taliban took over Afghanistan, Farzad's family raced to Kabul airport in hopes of being evacuated from the country.
Since my husband's life was in danger, we left our house and headed to the airport because we heard that Americans were evacuating people who worked with them.
U.S. Marines moved the children inside the airport to shelter them from the high heat and the huge crowds at the gates. Farzad's uncle, Ahmad Zawarzadeh, who was also trying to get his family out, says Farzad was one of the children lifted over barbed wire.
The Marines asked us to give them our children so that they move them to the other side of the gate in the airport. We handed them three of our family's children.
The two families entered the airport 3 hours later and were reunited with two of the three children. But baby Farzad was nowhere to be seen.
After 3 hours of trying to get in, we finally succeeded. After searching for the kids, we found two of them. One of them was my little daughter, and the other one was my niece. But despite efforts, we failed to find the third child.
Farzad's father went back outside the airport looking for his son.
When we lost our son in the airport, my husband left the airport to look for him. He would show my son's photo to everyone, hoping to find him. My husband stayed back to search for my son.
The two families made it out of Afghanistan to a camp in Qatar, leaving a father in search for his son in Kabul, an irony that still puzzles Wahida.
We were leaving my country because my husband's life was in danger. But at the end, it was my husband who stayed back and my son disappeared. Farzad's father is still at risk in Afghanistan.
For 17 days, the 18-year-old mother did not know her son's whereabouts or well-being.
I was feeling as if I were dead too. It's very difficult for a mother.
That all changed in a Qatari camp when the family received a message.
We hadn't been in communication with anyone in those 2 weeks. After 15 days, when I connected to the newly installed Wi-Fi in the camp, the first message that I noticed was from some folks in Norway. Their message said that Farzad was with them. We were relieved and thankful as they became Farzad's temporary parents.
Farzad stayed in Norway for 43 days while his mother was shifted to a camp in the U.S.
After we arrived in a refugee camp in the U.S., they transported our son from Norway. After confirming he was my child through a DNA test, they gave me my child.
The family resides in Richmond, Virginia, and are now praying for a reunion with Farzad's father, who is still in Kabul, hoping to be evacuated by the U.S. He requested his identity be kept secret for his safety.
I thank the U.S. for reuniting my son with his mother. I miss them a lot and request the U.S. government to include me in this process of evacuation. My family needs me, and I need my family.
For Noshaba Ashna in Richmond, Virginia, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
Still to come on VOA Asia, the U.S. promises to ramp up COVID-19 vaccine production. Happening now in Asia, Japan announced a record $490 billion spending package to cushion the economic blow from the COVID-19 pandemic. The total package, which includes funds that do not lead to immediate spending, will likely reach $690 billion. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Continuing now on VOA Asia, the U.S. aims to raise COVID-19 vaccine production by more than a billion doses in 2022, the Biden administration announced. The intended increase in effort and manufacturing comes as U.S. lawmakers are questioning inequities in global vaccine distribution and vaccination rates among richer and poorer nations. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has more.
The U.S. effort to vaccinate the world, providing more than 235 million vaccine doses to over 100 countries to date, with more to come announced Wednesday. Dr. David Kessler, Chief Science Officer, COVID-19 Response Team.
We have proudly donated more doses than all other countries combined. We will continue and must continue to donate more and more doses. Currently, we're donating 1.2 billion doses to the world. This includes the U.S. government's groundbreaking deal to deliver 1 billion donated doses of Pfizer vaccine to countries in need through COVAX.
U.S. health experts say that while vaccination rates in North America and Europe are at about 50%, those rates drop to as low as 10% in Africa. Democratic Representative Barbara Lee.
What is the problem? What's the bottleneck? And are we getting any better with countries where there are, quite frankly, the descendants of Africa? Because once again, we see the inequities in Black and brown countries throughout the world.
Even though the U.S. has delivered 50 million vaccines to Latin America and the Caribbean, lawmakers say the Biden administration's efforts have lagged too far behind. Health experts tell lawmakers the U.S. is just now catching up because of a number of factors. Kevin O'Reilly, U.S. State Department.
It was the priority that we had to give to domestic requirements. Secondly, that we went through rigorous procedures to make sure that anything that we donated was safe and reliable.
One possible turning point for fighting COVID-19 globally, Pfizer announced Thursday it would allow generic drug manufacturers to produce its antiviral pill for lower and middle income countries. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
Read and see more on this story at VOA Asia Facebook. Finally on VOA Asia, space junk threatened the International Space Station, forcing four new arrivals who came on board to take safety measures. Plus, tragedy struck a space tourist and the longest partial lunar eclipse in nearly 600 years. VOA's Arash Arabasadi reviews the week in space.
SpaceX at long last delivered four astronauts aboard a fully automated Dragon capsule that had its launch delayed several times in recent weeks. In that time, four astronauts from the would-be welcoming committee returned home to planet Earth, leaving three to hug them aboard.
And first through the hatch is going to be NASA astronaut Kayla Barron. Some hugs there. And you can hear the claps inside mission control.
The arriving crew features astronauts who are part of NASA's Artemis mission, tasked with landing the first woman and next man on the moon. But the good times were short-lived as a field of orbiting space junk sent astronauts seeking shelter in their docked capsules. This following reports that Russia destroyed one of its own satellites with a missile test.
The test has so far generated over 1,500 pieces of trackable orbitable debris and hundreds of thousands of pieces of smaller orbital debris that now threaten the interests of all nations.
NATO also calling the test reckless. But not so fast, says Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov.
The United States has ignored for many years the initiative of Russia and China to prepare a treaty to prevent an arms race in space.
The testy exchange of words comes as the new crew of the ISS prepares to spend the next 6 months in space. They will host two groups of visiting tourists, the first coming from Russia in December. In other news, tragedy befell one of the first space tourists in human history. Tech executive Glenn DeVries, seen here aboard a Blue Origin capsule with actor William Shatner, died in a crash of a single-engine plane. A flight instructor also died. DeVries' death comes a month after he went to space. Finally, on this segment earlier in the year, we saw images of a supermoon. That full moon was the closest of the year, making it look uncommonly large from Earth. In some places, it coincided with a lunar eclipse. By the time you likely see this segment, however, a history-making lunar eclipse lasting about 3.5 hours will have happened as the moon hangs in the shadow of Earth cast by the sun. It will be the longest lunar eclipse in nearly 600 years. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
That's all the time we have on VOA Asia. Make sure to find us on Facebook, VOA Asia, on Twitter at VOA Asia, and on Instagram, YouTube, and at voanews.com. Thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, Amy Hybels, and Jessica Stone. I'm Chris Gasquio in Washington. Enjoy the day.